Well, let me invite you to get your Bibles out, and as you're turning to your Bibles in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, I want to ask you a question, and it's very significant for every one of us. Since this is Father's Day, and we respect our fathers and love our fathers, I want to ask you this question to every one of us. What type of picture is in your mind of your Heavenly Father? When you pray and you talk to the Heavenly Father, what picture do you have in your mind of the God of the universe? Now, if you was brought up in a home where, you know, you was treated with a lack of compassion, you was to be seen and not heard, and maybe mom and dad didn't really spend a lot of time with you, and they was insensitive to you and dogmatic towards you, and they really didn't show a lot of love, care, and affection, you're going to have a real struggle talking to the Father of the universe, to the one who saved you, to the one who redeemed you, because you probably don't have a good understanding of Him, because we draw a lot of images of our Heavenly Father from our earthly parents. And if you had an earthly father that didn't pay you much time, chances are you don't think the Heavenly Father is going to pay you much time. Maybe He's out there in the blue and He's not a bit interested in you, and so you just live your life and do your thing, and that's the way you live your life. What is your view of your Heavenly Father? Is it a view of someone, if you was raised in a kind, compassionate home, you may wonder, why is it other people don't have an understanding of God as a loving Heavenly Father? Because the truth about it is, God, yes, He's the God of the universe. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. He's not the same in our minds. He's not the same in everyone's mind. That's why some people really struggle when it comes to worshiping God, to serving Him. They've maybe been treated unkindly as they were growing up. And so if you was raised by somebody that was hateful or hard on your life, then it's almost impossible for you to think or imagine that this God of the universe, this God who saved you, is a kind, caring, loving Heavenly Father. And if you came out of a home in your life and your parents, they just made life hell on earth for you, you never said that to them, but that was the way, that was the reality of life, then you'll never enjoy your relationship with Holy God until you come to really understand who He is. And because Jesus knows that is the case in every one of our lives from where we come from, He gives us a wonderful story in the Gospel of Luke to paint in our mind and in our heart a wonderful picture of who our Heavenly Father really, really is. So if you'll look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 through 24, follow along. And He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, while this is the story of the prodigal son, really and truly, it is really a story, it's a demonstration of the nature, the character, the disposition that the God who created you and me has toward every one of us. And in this passage of Scripture, I hope you'll listen very carefully this morning, because it may very well be the first time you've ever had a picture drawn of who your Heavenly Father really is and what He is really like. Because unless you and I come to understand who He is and what He's really like, we really have trouble worshiping Him. And there's people all over the world this morning. Yes, they're gathering in churches, and you may be one of them, gathering in churches and singing songs and praying prayers, but their heart's not in it. Their spirit's not in it, because they just don't really have an understanding of God, who He really is. For so many people, He's out to give them rules, regulations, laws, and codes. But that's not the picture of God in this Scripture. And I want you to follow along in Scripture, and also follow along in your outline. Because I want us to look at this morning our forgiving Heavenly Father. First and foremost, I want you to notice our forgiving Heavenly Father, the Bible says He is aware that we sin and disobey. If you will look at this passage and read it carefully, read it out of not only the King James, but also some other translations, it's very interesting what this passage does say and what it does not say. As this father was addressed by his son, really his son just really raked him over the coals and said, "Dad," and he had no right to the money. He did not deserve the money that his dad gave him. And he said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave home. Nothing you can do is going to keep me here. I want what's coming to me, my inheritance. And it's very interesting, the response of this dad, which is a picture of our Heavenly Father. Do you realize there is no verse in here, there is no reference at all that says this father got mad, got angry, got upset, and read his son the riot act simply because he did what he did? No. This dad probably even anticipated his son's disobedience. And what you find in this passage of Scripture, here is a son, he's disobeying, he's going his own way, he's doing his own thing. He wanted to live the way he desired, do whatever he wanted to, and nobody was going to stop him. Do you know that's the God of the universe? Listen, He won't stop you if you want to live the way you want to do, if you want to rebel, if you want to live your life the way you want. You don't want interruption from God. You don't want any interference from God. He'll let you. You see, the dad in this passage of Scripture, now we have a real struggle with it. He just loved him even as he walked away. One of the things that I've noticed in this passage time and time again reading it, it's what the dad did not do. Dads, do you know this? That the father in this story anticipated seasons of sin and disobedience in his son. You know, sometimes when our children disobey us and they sin and they do some things, it is amazing how we respond. It's as though we created them to be a little perfect. They're not going to be perfect. They never have arrived. They never will arrive at perfection. And yet this father in this passage of Scripture, listen, he was patient. He was kind. As a matter of fact, this son had no legal right to this money. But this dad went, he got the money, and he handed it over to him. Can you imagine yourself doing that, Dad? Your son or your daughter comes to you, and maybe you got an inheritance of $20,000, and they said, "Dad, I know what's coming to me. I want it, and I want it now." What would you do? Well, you can probably pretty much fill in the blanks. You'd say, "Well, you can want all you want to." And, but in this passage of Scripture, Jesus gives you and me a picture of the Father. Why? Because you need to have an accurate understanding of the God of the Bible, because you can't worship Him, you can't praise Him, you can't give Him your life, honestly, until you do. In the Bible makes it very clear, in the book of Psalms, God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows what you're going to do. He knows you're going to sin. He knows you're going to botch it. Does He get mad and angry and upset and want to blow you off the course? No. Can you imagine if He did? Listen, with just one little snap of His finger, you'd be annihilated, and I would too. The Bible says he commends His love toward us while we are in the process of disobeying and while we're sinning. Is that your picture of Heavenly Father? Or do you think that He's ready to read you some riot act when you sin and you do something wrong? Because that's all you knew growing up. That's all you had growing up. Mom would read you the riot act. Dad would read you the riot act. They'd tell you everything you did wrong, and they was there and they was glad to do it. Some of you cannot worship God right because you struggle with parents who made life a living hell for you. And that's the way they treated you. They didn't want to love you. If they did, they had an awkward way of showing it. They didn't care. It seemed like they didn't care. And they just blistered you, it seems like, every opportunity they had. They weren't there to commend you. They was there to point out everything you did wrong. I want to tell you this. Every one of us that are parents, that is not the way your Heavenly Father is to you. You find it in Scripture, and I'll retract it. You see, that's not the way our Father is. In this passage of Scripture, here is a young man. He wanted to walk his way and do his thing. And you know what this dad knew? He knew that I can talk to him till I'm blue in the face, but if he has a bent toward rebellion, he's just going to have to find out what is going to happen to him. You see, mate, you may be one of those. You've got a bent toward rebellion. You say, I know what you're saying, Pastor, and nothing I can say. You're just going to have to walk and find out, and you're going to have to experience yourself what is going to happen. You know, this dad never did go away. He never did banish his son. But in this passage of Scripture, listen, and you see, one of the things that you and I need to understand, we've got a Heavenly Father who anticipates seasons and moments of sin in our life. Does that to say he endorses them? Heavens, no. God forbid. But he knows they're going to come. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. You know what that means? When you botch it, when you blow it, when you do something, he is faithful. That's the nature of your Heavenly Father. He is not out to hold something over your life, hold your past over you, hold some event you've done in your life. That is not the way he is. That may be the way your earthly parents were, and that's why you struggle so much, but that's not the way your Heavenly Father is. Well, secondly, not only does he anticipate times of sin and rebellion, but he never responds to us unkind when we disobey. Have you ever disobeyed the Lord and you thought, boy, I know he's going to blister me? Now, listen to me real carefully. Sometimes when we get a loving discipline from our parents when we were kids, we thought they didn't like us and they disliked us and they were mad at us. And really, in truth, what we didn't want the pain. Now, love and pain does not mean that if a person gives you pain, it doesn't mean they don't love you. Listen, if you love your child, the Bible says you'll discipline them. But there is a spirit in which you do it. And the Bible makes it very clear that, you know, whenever our Heavenly Father sees us, and in this passage of Scripture, you know, he never responds to us in ways that are inconsistent with his character. You think about it, you know, I just cannot fathom in my mind, you know, Heavenly God, my Heavenly Father, you know, giving me a mental browbeating or an emotional browbeating or just letting me have a lecture. He doesn't do that. You say, Pastor, I just struggle with that. You struggle with it because you never saw it probably in your life. The Bible makes it very clear. If you get a picture of God in this passage, he did not lecture this son. The son said, let me have it. You will not find a lecture in this passage. And it's so important for you and me to understand because that's who our Father is. If we want to disobey, if we want to do our own thing, he's not going to lecture you. He's not going to lecture you, say you shouldn't do it. No, you're not going to do it. You know, you ever seen parents and know parents? Well, you think you want to, I'm going to give you another thing to think about. You know, I mean, they just write in your face. Now, parents, I'm saying that because who is it in the home that is to emulate the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anyone? Jesus. Now, you say, are you not supposed to discipline? I didn't say that. But you see, here's what happens. There's a lot of kids, there's a lot of people that wander away from home. There's a lot of people that wander away from the Lord, and they wonder, I wonder if the Lord really loves me anymore. And the only thing they've got to look at is other Christians. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear in this passage of Scripture. You know, this son wanted his way, and he wanted what he wanted. But the father never lectured him. He never badgered him. You know, he never demeaned him. He never criticized him. Here's why. When you love someone, that violates your nature. You see, holy God, now listen to me real carefully. You say, well, that's just your opinion. Look at Scripture. Read Scripture carefully. He never badgered, demeaned, belittled. It never accomplishes the purposes of God. God's going to never badger you to serve him. He's going to never demean you or criticize you. You know, that's just not the character of God. And you see, unless you have that picture in your mind, one of the things that, as I read this passage years and years ago, I saw some things in this passage, and I didn't realize what all was there and what all was not there. And as I read it, I saw here was a dad that doesn't belittle. That's the character of God. He cannot belittle you. It violates his nature. It violates his, you say, Pastor, you mean even while I'm sinning, he does not belittle? Never can. It is not the character of the God who created you, who places his spirit on the inside of you if you're a child of God. He cannot do it. And you see, the reason why so many people have a struggle in worshiping God, because they never know God in the first place. They don't know him. You can't know somebody you never really interact with and talk to it and have an association with. And you see, you know, he makes it very clear in this passage. He never responds unkind. You say, well, Pastor, if I said I'm going to leave church today and I'm going to get out of church and I'm going to darken the door of a church again, can God respond against his nature? Never. You say, you mean that now God would bring conviction? He'd bring conviction. He'd bring his hand upon your heart. Why? Because he cannot stand to see your life destroyed. But he never responded unkind. And you see, in our home life, one of the things that happens, and parents, listen real carefully. You respond unkind to your child enough times, you've lost them forever. So now wait just a minute. I just don't know if I believe that. Listen to what God says over your opinion. Galatians 6:17 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow enough bitterness, you sow enough criticism, you sow enough rejection toward your child, even when they disobey, you know what? When they want to turn around someday, they won't come to you. Because you've sown resentment, you've sown bitterness, you've sown hostility, you've sown criticism. Oh, if they come back to the Lord, but they won't ever really listen to you. You say, can you have a child that will not listen to you? You say, well, it's just a shame the way children are. Children are replicas of their parents many times. Whatever you sow in the life of your child, that's what they're going to become. Whatever you give in the life of your son and your daughter, that's what they're going to become. And you see, this man, you know, he disobeyed. He walked away. And as he walked away, I want you to listen real carefully. He could not forget the way his dad treated him. Now I want to ask you to do one thing. You don't have to move from where you are, but I want to ask you in the fabric of your mind, what is your image of your daddy? What is your mental image of your daddy? Does the kind thing, does it kindness come to your mind? Or do you think there's somebody that never listened to me? This young son, when he walked away from home, he never forgot how his dad treated him. The Bible says that he lost his money, he lost everything he had, but even when he got to the bottom, he could not forget the way his dad treated him. He remembered the kindness of his dad. His dad was kind to the servants. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the servants had not only food to eat, they had more than enough food. That was the disposition of this dad. And what he could remember was this. When I wanted my own way, when I wanted to do my own thing, when I wanted to live my own way, it did not affect my dad's response to me. He still loved me. He demonstrated love. He showed me love. And I've not forgotten that while I'm here at the bottom. Now, let me ask you this. Has there ever been a time in your life when your children were rebellious and they did something and it just absolutely almost blew you off course? And it was an opportunity for you to show grace and kindness, but you didn't. I mean, you really let them have it. And you really, really hate what you did. You can't go back and recall it. And you see, what is so important is this. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that, you know, This dad didn't respond in kind. When you want to disobey God, now this is going to be hard to imagine. He never is unkind towards you and me. When you want to ask God to forgive you and you want to return back, does he ever reject you and resent you and say, no, you can't come back until you do 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 things? No. The Bible says his heart is full of loving kindness. As a matter of fact, that's what this son found out. And you see, he's loving, he's caring, and even controlling our lives. You know, whenever things get to the bottom and you feel like, well, you know, God, if you really love me, listen, the God who created you is orchestrating your life and orchestrating the circumstances around your life. You have no idea how God has so orchestrated your life. And this young son found this out. He found out that he had a dad that wasn't unkind to him. Well, not only that, look at number 3. When this son hit rock bottom and really came back to wanted to come back home, he had a hard time forgiving himself. You see, the Bible says that, you know, he was there, he was in the pig pen, and he was thinking about how many servants, how many hired servants do my dad have? They've got ample food, and I'm perishing here. I don't even want to become a son. I don't deserve to become a son. I've been with women. I have wasted myself with women. I've wasted myself on liquor, wine, alcohol. I mean, I've gone through all the money, and my dad had worked hard for the money, and I wasted the money, and that there's nothing for me to even ask for from dad. The only thing I want, I don't want to live in the house with my dad. I don't deserve the right. I only want food to eat and to live like a servant, somebody that's been hired. You know what he really did? He came to his senses. It is so important for parents to stay the course of loving kindness. Let me tell you why. Someday your child may come to their senses and they'll remember what you did in those moments when they were rebellious and disobedient. They'll remember how you responded. They'll remember how you acted. They'll remember if you were mad, angry, upset, and just read them the right, or if you demonstrated loving kindness. They will never, 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 never forget it. Never. And some people wonder, some parents wonder, I just don't know what's wrong with my child, my children. They don't want to have anything to do with me. God's word is never altered. If your child doesn't want to have anything to do with you and they want to walk with God, it's a wise parent that starts taking inventory and asks the hard questions. Have I done something? Have I repelled my child? Have I been hard? Have I been critical? You see, here's what happened in that son's life. You know, God's aware of our sin. He's aware of our disobedience. And no doubt when this son came home, he couldn't forgive himself. Think about it. He'd wasted his money on women. It wasn't his money in the first place. He didn't ever work for it. But he wasted it nonetheless. And so he came to his dad. And he didn't even ask to return to the house. He said, Dad, just let me be a hired servant. Listen, there are all sorts of things that happen in our life that we cannot reverse them. We cannot retract them. They're already done. They've already happened. The only thing that we can choose to do is to forgive ourselves of the past, of what we've done, and walk on. But you know, one of the hardest things in every one of our lives is to forgive ourselves of what we've done in the past, to forgive ourselves of past actions and past things that have taken place. And you see, that's no doubt what this son was having a hard time with. Oh, we'll pray and we'll ask God to forgive us. But the biggest thing we have a hard time with is forgiving ourselves. Countless times when I've talked to people down through the years and I've asked them, I said, have you asked God to forgive me, forgive you? And they said, yes. I said, do you think he has? Yes. And then the next question I ask them is, have you forgiven yourself? Invariably, in most every case, no, I've not. You see, the son had ruined his name. The son had ruined his character. But you know one thing we forget in the passage of Scripture? He repented. He repented from the bottom of his heart. And he started making the trek home. Whatever his dad was going to do, he remembered the kindness of his dad. He remembered the love of his dad. And when he got to his dad, he told his dad, "I'm not worthy." Now listen to me very carefully. When something has happened in your life, something you've bottomed out, you've done something you just can't believe and imagine. And sometimes, I want to say this, sometimes we Christians aren't a lot of help when somebody else has fallen. Oh, did you do that? Sometimes we're not real good encouragers with one another. Sometimes we're great discouragers because we don't show sometimes the kindness of a loving Heavenly Father. Sometimes we just show, you know, a little bit more coal on the fire, so to speak. You know, oh my goodness, you did, oh my word, law, I won't tell anybody. You, how many times did it happen? Really? Oh, did you hear? And our idea sometimes of keeping a secret is telling one person at a time. Are you like your Heavenly Father? Do you act like Him? You see, folks, it's serious business because whether our children do or don't come home sometimes is totally based on what they saw in us. This son came back because he remembered. He remembered his dad didn't jump on him. I'm sure if he had had the money, he'd said, "Dad, here's the money. I return." But he couldn't. It was gone. It was wasted. The Bible says, you know, when he came to his senses. You see, the wonder of God is this. When we struggle with having a hard time forgiving ourselves, he forgives us. One of the examples, one of the greatest men in the Bible, Moses in the Old Testament. Probably nobody used like him in the Old Testament. You remember Moses committed murder? Hid the man in the sand so nobody'd find him? And here was a man, and can you do something and God can't use you? It depends on your heart. Listen, the grace of God is such, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've been involved in, He forgives you if you're a child of God, and He gives you the power to forgive yourself. He will forgive anybody of anything. It doesn't matter what you've done. You say, "Well, you just don't know what I've done. I'm lost. I've never accepted Jesus Christ." He'll be glad to forgive. That's the nature of God. And that's what one of the reasons we struggle. Why? Because we don't, maybe you had a parent that, your parent, listen, they've let you relive the past 25,000 times. Boy, you remember what you did when you was 15, how you wrecked the car and I lost my car and I didn't have a way to get around. Now, nobody's told me a story. I pull that out of thin air. But that's reality and that's life. Listen, our Heavenly Father has no desire to be hard on us. I love John 3:17 probably about as much as I do John 3:16. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn, to lay guilt, but that we could have eternal life. And you see, another thing that happens, I want you to look most importantly at number four. Look at number four very carefully. Lastly, when we repent, when we turn back to God after we have botched it, our loving, forgiving Heavenly Father loves to give us His, what's the next word? Best, when we repent. I want you to look carefully, and I want you to follow along with me. In verse 21, the son is coming to the dad, and he's repenting. And he said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." I love the next word. But, you know, the son says, "Dad, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to have a relationship. I don't deserve to even live. I've ruined myself, Dad. You don't understand what I've done to you, Dad. You just don't know how I've wasted everything, and I have no right." But here is the nature of God, unlike us as human beings. When he sees that we're genuine and after we botched it, he don't just forgive us. He loves by his nature to bring the best into our life as the visible evidence that he has genuinely, authentically forgiven us. You say, why does he do that? Because he wants to. And he's God and he has the right to. Listen, this son, he came back to his dad and he admitted what he had done. He had botched it. And after he did that, he saw what his dad did. Listen, he had never seen this out of his dad, and he learned a lesson. No matter how bad I botch it, no matter what I do, no matter how many times I do it, my Father never does not love me. And that's the picture of Almighty God to you and to me. Listen, nothing you do, and sometimes people say, well, I just don't know about that. Listen, it's not yours and mine to make up what the Bible says. We are to listen carefully to the Word of the living God and listen to God speak through his Word and tell us about himself. And when Jesus gives this passage, he knows that people are going to come from hard environments. He knows that some children are going to be beaten incessantly, and they're going to have a dad that's done it, or maybe a mom that's done it. But he wants you and me to come to understand that he is not a beating father. He's not a hard father. He's not a dogmatic father. He is a gracious and loving and caring and kind Heavenly Father. Listen, that son, I'm sure he was just flabbergasted when he heard his dad. You know, the son didn't even get through his prayer. If you'll read carefully, he didn't even get through it. He said, I'm not worthy. And then the dad said, the Bible says, but the dad gave an order. Bring the best. Why? That's what the Father thinks of you and me. You see, we really struggle. We don't have a right view of ourselves from God's vantage point. Let me tell you how I know. Down through the years, as I've talked to people, I said, ask them, well, you know, I just can't do that. I don't have that ability. I'm not much on doing things. You know, I'm just a, and then they go into a description. But here's what the scripture says. Bring the fatted calf. That was money, guys. That was money. That calf, listen, if you know anything about livestock, and I don't know a whole lot, but my dad's raised stock, and it takes a while for those calves to get fat. They don't do it. They've got to have some good food. They've got to have some good feels. He didn't say give the chintzy one. He said bring the best. Bring the fatted calf. Put a robe. Why? Here's what the Father was. I want this son to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I love him. I love him more than anything he could ever done. And the one problem we have with our life, and sometimes we think that God loves us based on some things that we do for him. God loves you unconditionally. It does not matter how much or little you ever do for God. He will never alter his love for you more so than, as a matter of fact, he can never love you more or less. God's love throughout all of eternity will be like this for you and me. Why? Because it never changes. Now, some of us cannot experience his love because of disobedience and rebellion and things like that. But this son came to realize, here's a dad. Dad, I didn't realize who you are. I didn't realize the way you really are. And you see, that may very well be because I have to confess. There was a time in my life I went to church, I went through the motions, I read my Bible, and I did all that. I didn't know my Father. I didn't really know him. I didn't know what type of dad he really was. I didn't really enter into a relationship. I guess I was in my mid-20s to latter 20s, and some things happened in my life, and I started turning some things over, and I started watching him. And then I realized, God, you did that for me? And then it blew me away that God would do it for me. But here's the fact. He'll do it for you. That's who your Heavenly Father is. Listen, he don't save you just to let you fly by the seat of the pants and not care for you and guide you and love you. He'll provide you everything you need in this life. He'll give you everything you need in this life. Matter of fact, Psalm says when you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But the issue is, what's my relationship with him? Do I just want to come and get a little bit, tide me over? Now, I love you, and that's why I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Some of you just come for a tide me over. That's all you want. I love you enough to tell you, you're never going to have a real relationship with your Heavenly Father. Wouldn't it be sad to be saved, to go to heaven, and never enter into that real relationship? You see, He wants it. Doesn't matter what you do. He's going to love you, care for you, and guide you, meet the needs of your life. And most importantly, He wants to save you. If you're not here, if you're here and you're not saved, He wants to save you. Why does He want to save you? Here's the facts. You leave this world without Jesus, you're going to hell. Amen? Friend, I can't get much straighter than that. You leave this world without Jesus, you are going to hell. You know that in your own heart. You know if you're saved, you know if you're not. You can say things and do things, but you can even come to church, but that doesn't make you saved. Salvation comes when you invite Jesus Christ inside your life to be your Lord and Savior. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you make that place where you're sitting right now an altar between you and God? If you're lost without Jesus Christ, would you pray this simple prayer and invite Christ to be your Lord and Savior right here, right now? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that if I died right this minute, I would go to hell. But Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for doing that. Heavenly Father,